Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This weekend with your host, Gordon Deal.
Is the Affordable Care Act unaffordable? I'm Bruce Johnson in for Gordon Deal along with Jennifer Koschenka. Coming up this hour,
critics continue to claim that Obamacare is plagued by high deductibles, making federal health care more unaffordable heading into the third year of the ACA.
A new survey shows that 70% of consumers have failed a quiz about how to stay safe from holiday scammers. We'll talk to an AARP fraud expert about that alarming number.
Airport security lines may be getting longer. The federal government is cutting back on those quicker TSA pre-check lanes over concerns about safety.
And the holiday season is the peak time for fires in the home.
This is the time of year where people spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and surprisingly, cooking incidents is the biggest cause of home fires. And it's also a time where people go to great lengths to heat their homes, kerosene heaters, space heaters, and those are obviously fire hazards as well.
That's American Red Cross CEO and President Gail McGovern, who will have more in about 30 minutes. Big news on Capitol Hill this week. For the first time ever, Republicans have sent a repeal of the Affordable Care Act to President Obama's desk. They led a 52-47 vote to repeal Obamacare, clearing a nearly six-year hurdle that kept previous attempts to undo the ACA from reaching the Oval Office. Now the president will clearly veto the attempt to kill off his pet project, but critics are still saying high deductibles in Obamacare are making health insurance unaffordable. Tracy Jan of the Boston Globe has written a story about the escalating costs of the Affordable Care Act. Tracy, how more expensive is it becoming?
There's an issue with people affording health insurance, and under the Affordable Care Act, which is supposed to make health care more affordable, it doesn't actually do that, despite its name. The issue revolves around high deductible health plans. This is a problem even before the Affordable Care Act came into play. It's a problem in the private employer market, and it's also a growing problem in the Affordable Care Act marketplace insurance that people are buying. What happens is people have these $6,000, $7,000, $13,000 deductibles that they have to meet every year before their health plans will start paying for the cost of their care, and is keeping people from going to the doctor, seeking follow-up tests, just any treatments that they put off because they can't afford it. It's a complicated issue, but when it comes to consumers' pocketbooks, presidential candidates are all talking about this issue. It's going to be an issue in the 2016 campaign. Ohio is a key swing state, and it has one of the highest number of people on high deductible plans in the nation. The highest one is Texas, followed by Illinois, Pennsylvania, and then Ohio. Of those, Ohio is the critical swing state. That's why we went there.
Is there a reason why Ohio is so high?
It's unclear. They have a lot of different insurers. I mean, there's a lot of different plans in Ohio. It's a very robust, competitive market. One issue that critics say is that the governor, who did expand, you know, Governor John Kasich is running for president, he did expand Medicaid, so there are a lot more people who are insured, but he and other Republicans are outright opposed to this law, so they haven't made it any easier. They haven't regulated the market as much as other states may have. I mean, it's a national issue. It's not just Ohio, but it is particularly poignant there.
We're talking with Tracy Jan from the Boston Globe. Tracy, is that $13,000 number you mentioned, is that all out of pocket before insurance kicks in?
Right. Yeah, you know, you're paying a negotiated rate, but it is a rate that you have to fill. I mean, each insurance plan is different, so it is very, very complicated. But I'll just take the example of the couple that I use, Roger and Cassandra Anderson. They live in Bethel outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. He was uninsured before the Affordable Care Act. They're Democrats. They canvassed for Obama in 2008, very supportive of the bill because health insurance for all is very many people see it as a fundamental right. So they couldn't wait for it to happen. He had a heart problem and he had a heart surgery, and I think they had like $26,000 in medical bills before he was insured. And they're still paying it off. They worked out a payment plan with the hospital. What happened is once they signed up for insurance, Obamacare insurance, in 2013, they had a $7,000 deductible. He broke his shoulder hiking. He tore his rotator cuff and had to get surgery. And none of those surgeries were covered. I think they racked up like $6,700 in bills. And until they hit the $7,000, insurance isn't going to cover a lot of the costs.
So how big will this issue be with the 2016 presidential candidates?
Yeah, I mean, pollsters predict that it'll be a big issue. The health law is particularly unpopular in Ohio, even though, to be fair, millions more people across the country do now have health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. Now, what happens is if you're really poor, the Affordable Care Act benefits you, because if you are uninsured, you now have health insurance with heavy government subsidies, and so you don't have to pay as much out of pocket. There is still some cost sharing if you're on the insurance, on the Obamacare exchanges. Now, if you're working class or low middle income, you do qualify for a little bit of government subsidies, but it's not nearly enough to make a difference, is what these people are saying. So they get subsidies for their premiums, and some of them even get subsidies for their out-of-pocket costs, but it's very, very little. And so a lot of them are saying, what's the point of insurance? Before, I got free care when I was uninsured. I'd go to a health clinic and pay like $20 per visit. The problem with free care is it's not always available. You might have a long waiting list to see a specialist. So it's not the perfect solution. But for some of these people who are insured for the first time in their lives, they're not seeing the immediate benefit.
Thanks, Tracy. Tracy Jan of the Boston Globe. By the way, the current Affordable Care Act enrollment period ends on February 1. It is now 13 minutes after the hour on this weekend.
Did you know that more and more businesses are switching to Vonage? Seems like they know something you don't know. Like how they can unify all their offices nationwide on their own private connection to the cloud. Or maybe they know they're saving tons of headaches by eliminating unwieldy PBX phone systems. Or that Vonage's award-winning cloud-based mobility solutions allow their employees to communicate from any device, including their desk phone, desktop, laptop, mobile, or tablet, keeping them connected to customers while on the go. It's no wonder so many businesses are switching to Vonage. So what are you waiting for? Don't just switch to any cloud. Switch to Vonage's award-winning cloud service. Make the switch to better. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or visit Vonage.com and find out all you need to know about why so many businesses are switching. That's 1-800-5-VONAGE or Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
And Gordon has the weekend off. I'm Bruce Johnson filling in for him. And beware the Grinch. Consumers, that's right, all of you are at risk of being scammed during the holidays. And a new survey from AARP has found that 70% of consumers failed a quiz about how to stay safe from common holiday scams. We're joined now by AARP fraud expert Amy Nofziger. Amy, how bad is it out there right now?
Well, I mean, everyone's busy this time of the year, and so some of us might let our guard down with all the hustle and bustle that the holidays bring, but those scammers don't, and we know this time of year they're busy trying to steal our hard-earned money. The most common scams we see during the holidays are charity fraud, gift card scams, of course, package theft. But the one to watch out for that happens year-round but can certainly pick up this time of year is hackers stealing personal information through public Wi-Fi hotspots.
You know, Amy, you talk about holiday theft. Would that include kind of this relatively new phenomenon of people actually having their gift packages delivered by UPS or FedEx stolen off their front porch?
Oh, absolutely. We know that thieves will troll neighborhoods. I mean, of course, especially during the holiday season, looking for packages to steal from front porches. So we really recommend that if people are going to have packages shipped to their house, that they have them with a signature, so you have to sign off on them. Or you can even write specific instructions for the delivery company on where to leave the package. You know, and if you have the option, maybe have it delivered to you at work so you have it with you.
You know, you also mentioned in your comments that I'm reading that the use of public Wi-Fi is kind of a hot spot now for fraud. Talk about that.
Sure. We did a survey recently, a holiday scam quiz, and we asked American shoppers, you know, about their risk of being a victim during the holidays. Not only did 70% of those shoppers fail the quiz about holiday safety, so we all have some learning to do, but specifically what I found interesting in regards to the public Wi-Fi is 42% of shoppers said they are going to make holiday purchases using public Wi-Fi. And we know that hackers are waiting for you to put in your personal and private information so they can steal it. Also, 28% of the people we surveyed said they're going to use public Wi-Fi during the holidays to check their bank accounts. So we really recommend that people do not put personal or financial information into public Wi-Fi. It's great for checking sports, the weather, or the news, but don't log in with any personal or private information.
We are talking to Amy Nofziger from the AARP. She is a fraud expert. And Amy, a moment ago, you talked about a quiz, which is the AARP Fraud Watch Network report. What other findings came out of that report?
You know, one of the things that was really surprising to me was that 60% of those who donated to charity in the last 12 months did so without verifying if the charity is even legally allowed to fundraise in their state. And checking the charity is an easy step for everyone to do. So if you are inclined to donate to a charity during the holiday season, definitely check with the Tennessee Secretary of State or even the Attorney General's office to find out if that charity is allowed to fundraise in your state.
Amy, we all know about becoming victims of fraud and the possibility of that. What should someone do? What should a consumer do if he or she actually is a victim of fraud?
First and foremost, report it. You can report it to the Tennessee Attorney General's office, local law enforcement. You can even call the Fraud Watch Network helpline, and we can direct you where to report it. We have volunteers who are there to guide you. Also, here's the thing I want to say. If you have been a victim of fraud, don't be embarrassed or ashamed about it and keep quiet. That's what the scammers are counting on, keeping the victims quiet so we don't talk about it. We really encourage people to be empowered to share their stories. And we know with this time of the year, we're going to be around friends and family. If a family member does tell you that they have been victimized, don't shame them. Encourage them to report it and really support them along the way.
You know, we talked about the AARP Fraud Watch Network. You've also got a network helpline. How does one get in contact with that?
Sure. The helpline is a free resource for anyone to call and speak to a trained volunteer about your situation. Perhaps you want to check on the charity. We can help you do that. Our volunteers are here to listen and guide you. And let me give you that number. It's 1-877-908-3360.
That is Amy Nofziger. We thank her, an AARP fraud expert. Again, that Fraud Watch helpline, 877-908-3360. It is now 22 minutes after the hour on this weekend. Straight ahead, a conversation exit plan for those awkward holiday party moments. Welcome back to This Weekend. I'm sure many of you will be going to a holiday party this weekend, and some of you will end up in a dead-end conversation that you'll want to gracefully exit. But there are more ways to get out of it than just the old standby, I need to go freshen my drink. Jennifer Kashinka has more on a better conversation exit plan.
It can be one of the most awkward social situations, extricating yourself from a stalled conversation at a party. Here with some tips is Sue Schellenbarger of the Wall Street Journal. Sue, let's start with the basics. What should your body language look like when you're talking to someone at a party?
Well, one of the mistakes people make is to start to look bored and distracted, turn away, tap your foot, look at your watch, glance over somebody's shoulder. Not good things to do. You really should stay engaged, facing the person directly and making eye contact until you end the conversation. So stay open and friendly.
If you're at some kind of a work party, you're trying to network, how long should you stick with a conversation in general?
Well, people I spoke with said about 2 to 5 minutes is typical. It depends a little bit on your goals. If you have a lot of people to meet that evening or talk with, maybe a little shorter. But watch for signs that the other person is disengaging through body language or maybe just simply stopping responding to you. Those are clues that it's time to leave.
So you're standing here, you're talking to somebody, but you're miserably bored. What are some of the things you should not do to get away?
Well, people sometimes just let the conversation sort of trail off and go, oh, okay then, or they stop responding or they turn and talk to someone else. These are kind of lame ways to work your way out of a conversation. You want to leave the person feeling as if you were listening to them and that you appreciated their time. So if it gets to that point, you can just step forward and say, hey, it's been great talking to you, make eye contact, shake hands if it's appropriate, sum up the conversation. I really enjoyed hearing about your trip. I want to move on. I promised myself I'd meet a few other people tonight, and then just say goodbye. You have to take charge and make the person feel appreciated.
It must be difficult, though, if someone is telling stories and they just go on and on and on. How do you get that word in there without being rude?
Well, sometimes if the person is already being rude, that is not letting you get a word in edgewise. I've seen people just use their body language and step in. Extend the hand for a handshake, which is a signal, hey, I'm out of here, but it's polite. Make eye contact, and in a very aggressive almost way, say, thank you so much. It's really been great talking to you. I have to talk to a couple other people tonight, and I just need to break away now. Just be affirming about it, and in those cases, it's okay to be a little bit more assertive.
Sue, what about the lines like, I need to freshen my drink?
Those old lame excuses are not only transparent as rather dishonest, but sometimes they backfire. One person I spoke to said that when she tried that or said she had to go to the restroom, the other person often said, hey, I'll go with you. So it defeats the purpose.
What if you really are trying to network and you want to meet people? Is it appropriate to give out business cards or to talk about meeting up later?
It absolutely is. I think people, even in a personal setting, are comfortable with business cards these days. It's kind of a on-the-down-low way to make sure they remember you. One young woman I spoke with says she uses that as a way to begin saying goodbye and in hopes of making a good impression.
Can you ever pull in a friend or someone else you know to kind of help you get out of a situation?
Some of the most graceful partygoers I know do this all the time. They may see someone across the room and say, hey, I really want you to meet Mary or John, walk with you there, stay in the conversation for a little bit, and then gracefully exit. It makes sure that you're taken care of while they also get a chance to move around.
Sue Schellenbarger, The Wall Street Journal, along with our own Jennifer Kishinka. Hey, a reminder that we can hook up on social media. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow. I'm Bruce Johnson. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Weekend with Gordon Deal. Coming up next, how to avoid a damaging home fire during the holiday peak season.
We'd love to welcome a new sponsor to the show, All and Sundry, a modern men's shoe company with an old world vision. My friend Nick and his team make the finest handcrafted custom shoes, shoes your grandfather would be proud of. All and Sundry creates a unique experience where you select your style of shoe, whether for work or play. Then you choose the material, add custom features like eye stays, then select a color. They source all the materials and build each one by hand. Without a middleman, you get the savings. No more outrageous markups. If you're a shoe guy, All and Sundry is for you. If you're not, you might change your mind after seeing All and Sundry. Right now, get a 10% discount on a gift card for the holidays. Visit allandsundry.com and enter the promo code DEAL at checkout. That's AWL and sundry.com. Then enter DEAL at checkout. All and Sundry, stylish and modern shoes with craftsmanship a grandfather would be proud of. Again, allandsundry.com and enter code DEAL.
It's 34 minutes after the hour. I'm Bruce Johnson filling in for Gordon Deal along with Jennifer Kishinka. Coming up this half hour, we'll take a look at those airport security lines possibly getting longer. That's because the federal government is shutting down some of the TSA pre-security check lines. Also, 1 in 3 Americans refuse to tip during the holidays. How should you tip? And the NFL gets tech help for its concussion issue. Holiday season is time for shopping, visiting family and friends, and unfortunately, it's a peak time for fires in the home. Nearly 47,000 fires occur during the winter holidays, claiming more than 500 lives, causing more than 2,200 injuries, and costing $554 million in property damage. In addition, fires that begin in the kitchen are 4 times as likely to occur during the holidays. American Red Cross CEO and President Gail McGovern joins us now to talk about how we can be better prepared for fires in the home. Gail, break it down for us.
Well, this is a time of year where people spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and surprisingly, cooking incidents is the biggest cause of home fires. And it's also a time where people go to great lengths to heat their homes, kerosene heaters, space heaters, and those are obviously fire hazards as well. So we find that most of the home fires are happening between the holiday season, and it's really a shame because so much can be done to prevent these fires in general.
You know, and you look at the sheer numbers that are attached to fires during the winter holidays to begin with, nearly 47,000 fires do occur during that holiday period.
You're absolutely right. In fact, the Red Cross responds to home fires about once every 8 minutes, and we've already helped 67,000 families that were victims of home fires so far this year. And every single time that happens, we go out into the night and we provide food, shelter, lots of small things like a toothbrush or a plush toy for a child that just lost everything, blankets, lots of hugs. And we want to do whatever we can to try to prevent those fires from even happening. And we have a lot of tips that people can follow on redcross.org.
All right, let's talk about the bottom line. How can we avoid home fires in the kitchen, particularly during the holiday season?
Well, first of all, you should never leave food unattended that's cooking. So even if you're leaving the kitchen for a few minutes, you should turn off the stove top. Surfaces should be kept clean and clear. Things like towels or oven mitts can easily catch fire. Pot handles should be pushed in so that kids don't get tangled up in them. Don't wear loose clothing while you're cooking, and keep children and pets at least 3 feet away from cooking surfaces as well.
I would assume one reason that there are so many fires during the holidays is understandably lack of attention, lack of focus. There's so much going on, it's sometimes hard to hone in on what's supposed to be done right.
You're absolutely right. And if you multi-process and walk out of the kitchen and tend to something else, that's when these kinds of things occur. And a fire just catches flames so quickly. We've done surveys where people think that they have 5 minutes or more to get out of a home. And the real answer is 2 minutes or less. So these things can take off really quickly and engulf the home.
Gail, thank you. American Red Cross CEO and President Gail McGovern. It is now 22 minutes before the hour on this weekend, and coming up next, we'll take a look at longer security lines at your nationwide airports.
Most of you listening to this podcast are lifelong learners interested in gaining knowledge for your own personal enrichment. I have good news. That's the motivation behind The Great Courses, engaging video and audio lectures presented by top professors on a wide variety of subjects. The Great Courses has a collection of lecture series geared towards professionals like yourself, including Scientific Secrets for a Powerful Memory, How Conversation Works, Art of Public Speaking, and Influence, Mastering Life's Most Powerful Skill. These lecture series offer valuable tools and insights for anyone looking to strengthen their presentation skills, become a better negotiator, or sharpen their memory. The Great Courses are available in DVDs, CDs, streaming, digital downloads, or with the Great Courses apps. For a limited time, The Great Courses has a special offer for This Morning listeners. Order any of these four business and presentation courses for just $9.95. The special price of $9.95 is only available for a limited time, so order today. Go to thegreatcourses.com/deal. That's thegreatcourses.com/deal.
18 minutes in front of the hour on this weekend. Bruce Johnson filling in for Gordon Deal, who is off this week. Frequent air travelers have been noticing recent cutbacks in pre-check lanes at the airport, which threaten to increase wait times for flyers. Those lanes are reserved for the TSA's Trusted Traveler program, but the Department of Homeland Security has ordered the pre-check cutbacks over safety concerns that turned up during recent inspections. The Wall Street Journal's Scott McCartney is on top of the story, and he joins us now. Scott, what is going on here with the TSA and Homeland Security?
There were security concerns about some of the people who hadn't been vetted that TSA was putting through pre-check lines. So there aren't enough people signed up for pre-check yet to keep all the lanes busy. And so TSA was picking people out of lines that they didn't think were threats. They were selecting people at random, things like that, to keep the efficiency of those lines up. Security concerns were raised about that. They've ended a lot of that practice. So as a result, they've had to cut back on hours that pre-check lines are open. The numbers are pretty impressive. There's been a 6% increase in the number of travelers going through TSA lines this year. And on top of that, with the pre-check changes, the number of people going through general screening lines is actually up 11%. So you get longer lines, or you will get longer lines at right in the general screening area, and less availability for people who do go through the trouble of signing up for PreCheck or one of the other trusted traveler programs.
Scott, to back up a moment, what was the original premise behind PreCheck lanes?
So it's basically a trusted traveler situation. It's both a speed issue for travelers and a security issue for TSA. What happens is you sign up, you go through a background check, and TSA declares you a trusted traveler. With that status, when it's in your airline reservation, you can go through pre-check lane, which is basically old-fashioned airport security. You walk through a metal detector instead of going through the full-body scanner. You don't have to take your liquids and laptops out. You can leave your shoes and a light jacket on. It's much faster. And the benefit to TSA is both you get people through quicker, but you also remove from the general population the people about whom you know something.
We are talking to Scott McCartney of the Wall Street Journal about these cutbacks in pre-check lanes. Yet, as you mentioned before, the Department of Homeland Security has some reservations based on testing they have done.
Yeah, so this was there are a lot of issues with TSA right now and security effectiveness. The Department of Homeland Security does a lot of covert testing, putting weapons through checkpoints to see if screeners catch them, and there have been a lot of failures there. There are still some people who haven't been vetted who get pre-check status. Some through a program called Secure Flight, where they're picked based on their airline reservation and some criteria that they have with that. And then they also do it at airports where they have canine dogs. So if you have a dog in the queue going through and a bomb-sniffing dog, they have enough confidence that the dogs are highly effective. They have enough confidence that once you've been checked by the dog, they can put you through the pre-check line. So they're doing that in some cities. But the net result is there are fewer people going through pre-check. They need to get more people signed up. And because there are fewer people, they've had to cut back on hours.
Scott, thanks. Wall Street Journal reporter Scott McCartney and the bottom line advice to travelers, check with your airline before heading to the airport. 10 minutes in front of the hour on this weekend. I'm Bruce Johnson sitting in for Gordon Deal. Two of the more vexing questions during the holiday season is what to tip workers or even whether to tip those housekeepers, doormen, babysitters, pool cleaners, and others who make your life that much easier during the year. Here to help us with that dilemma is Katie Hill of MarketWatch. Katie, you cite a survey that shows 30% of Americans don't plan to give out any holiday tips this year.
One in three not giving any holiday tips is a high percentage because etiquette experts say that it is really, really important to tip during the holidays, to say thank you to all the people who sort of regularly helped you throughout the year, be that the person that always cuts your hair or your, you know, child's caregiver. They say it is really important to tip, and yet one in three don't do it.
And what do people say the reason or reasons are for them not to tip during the holidays?
Well, first of all, 34% of the people that don't tip say that they don't believe holiday tips are necessary at all, which is contrary to what most experts say. 41% say that they simply just can't afford to do it this year. So that's what's going on in people's heads.
And, of course, etiquette experts say they're not good enough reasons.
Yeah, definitely they say they're not good enough reasons. Okay, number one, holiday tips are necessary for almost anyone that you regularly, that helps you out. Maybe they make you look better or they make your life easier throughout the year. Almost all of those people, manicurist, hairstylist, your personal trainer, your housekeeper, daycare provider, those kinds of people, they should all be tipped at the holidays. If you can't afford it, you don't always have to give cash tips. You actually can give gifts, you know, if it's a daycare provider or something handmade that your child gives, make people cookies. But you got to say thank you during the holidays. It's really important.
Katie, in your article, you list, you know, the different people that one should tip during the holidays. And it's pretty standard. Nothing really outrageous on it.
Yeah, some people that you might forget, the newspaper carrier, if you still get a newspaper, the gardener, the handyman. But really what you should do is think about who you regularly, you know, interact with, who helps you regularly during the year, and that's who you're going to tip.
Now, I know for me, it's not the act of tipping. I'm glad to do that. What drives me crazy is how much do you tip for which different person? Do you give the gardener the same amount of money as you would give your babysitter?
So this is quite difficult. In my article, I make a list of it because it is not always the same, right? Sometimes, like for a nanny or something, you would do, if a nanny comes, you know, to you pretty much every week of the year, you would give a week's pay. A babysitter would be an evening's pay. People like your manicurist or your hairstylist, think about what the manicurist a little less than the hairstylist because you pay the hairstylist much more for each session. But yeah, I mean, these are different amounts. So I recommend you Google it because there's no standard rule for what you tip one person versus the other. And also it's how much have they been interacting with you all year. If you went to your personal trainer a bunch, you know, earlier in the year and then you cut that kind of tapered off, I mean, maybe you don't give them as much as you would if you were a kind of person that went 3 days a week every single day of the year. So you got to kind of think about that. But I say type it into Google, how much do I tip, blah, and you will find a decent answer.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill of MarketWatch, and we'll make sure we tip her. It is 7 minutes in front of the hour on this weekend.
With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office, the traffic, then the parking. Plus, it'll be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. So you should use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassles of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Then print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up. It's easy and convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter the code Deal.
We close out this weekend by talking about the NFL's concussion issue, which again is under the spotlight. Last Sunday, Pittsburgh quarterback Ben Roethlisberger voluntarily removed himself from a crucial game against Seattle in order to enter the concussion protocol. Well, the NFL is turning to technology in part to prevent such incidents. Earlier this week, the league announced the winners of its second Head Health Challenge, an open contest for devices or ideas that could make the game safer. The program, a joint effort among the NFL, Under Armour, and GE, produced three winners. One was a company called Viconic, which has developed an underlayer for synthetic turf that it says will help with impact management, cushioning the head and lower limbs when they hit the ground. Another winner, the University of Washington, that has designed a helmet that features an absorbing structure which can potentially help with head injuries. And the third winner, the Army Research Laboratory, which has developed tethers that attach helmets to a player's torso in an effort to prevent sudden accelerations caused by high-speed collisions. The Head Health Challenge is providing up to $20 million in research and technology development over a total of three contests. Well, that'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Bruce Johnson, filling in for Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend.
When you run a small business, even the smallest decisions are stressful. What color should the logo be? Black, purple, blue? Which blue? Sky, deep, seafoam, aquamarine? But there's one decision that's easy. The decision to make your business better by switching to Vonage's award-winning cloud-based communication service. with seamless mobility between your devices so your employees can connect with your customers while on the go. With state-of-the-art tools like virtual receptionist, so every call is routed with pinpoint precision. And all for much less than you think. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com to make the switch now. It's no wonder so many small and large business owners are switching to Vonage. So don't just switch to any cloud. Switch to Vonage's award-winning cloud service. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or sign up at Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.